Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Today, we present the third and concluding part of our interview with William White Williams, chairman of the National Alliance. When we left off last week, we were discussing the history of the National Alliance after Dr. Pierce's death. Chairman Williams was just telling us about a network of William Pierce loyalists he had assembled with the intention of taking back the alliance from Gleeby and Walker, stemming its decline and steering its course back in a Piercean direction. Listen.
We were really looking to take the alliance back at some point, but we couldn't do it because Gleeby was dug in and But then,
wasn't there one point as the alliance declined that it declined so far that they were thinking Gleeby was thinking about auctioning off Dr. Pierce's massive research library, which included a lot of personal notes written by him, and what happened regarding that?
I got wind of that around January 2014, which coincided with the time that some former members sued Gleeby for $2 million and tried to get the assets away from him. And I found out he was trying to sell that library, and I contacted him. I hadn't talked to him in years, but I said, you can't sell that library. It's a treasure. And before you know it, negotiations back and forth over a couple of months, I told him I'd buy it. I didn't know what I'd do with it, but by then you and I had decided we were going to start our own alliance. So, hey, let's...
Yes, we'd already started the reconstituted National Alliance, and so it was a real coup to be able to get that library and save it from who knows what would happen. Yeah. I've seen other libraries of racialists end up going on eBay and being sold off one at a time with valuable things, even going to Jewish groups. And I certainly didn't want that to happen.
Well, I managed to get some help in some U-Haul trucks, and I went up there and we had a few hundred boxes, cardboard boxes, and you know, you get all the stuff you need to organize it so it could be put back together like it was taken apart. Took video of the library and numbered all the shelves, you know. So. Mm-hmm. But I've still got it. It's in storage, and all the books are boxed up and labeled, and we'll get that back up to West Virginia in due time. That was in March of 2014. And then, I kept working on this building here and planning with you. You were doing the ADBs. And
yes, and I took some of the volunteers that had been working on the Legacy blog, and they are helping us build nationalvanguard.org up to much more than it used to be.
Yeah, it's amazing if you're determined what can happen. I mean, one thing after another. I found out maybe it was going to sell another large library that was stored up there in West Virginia. It didn't belong to the Alliance. He was just storing it for a member. And he was going to sell that. I said, well, I'll buy that too. So I did the routine again with the 26-foot U-Haul truck. And
tremendous amount of work.
Scrounging help up there to load it, scrounging help down here to unload it. And before you know it, I've got 800 and some boxes of books, 27,000, we estimated. And that library was a racialist library, and there's a lot of duplicates in it, but the two together will make one hell of a first-class library. It's quite a treasure.
Well, ultimately, you know, you're rescuing these libraries. Ultimately, the National Alliance is even disbanded as a membership organization by Gleeby, and you've refounded the Alliance. But something happened. The next year, the board of the actual National Alliance Corporation, the Virginia Corporation that was begun by Dr. Pierce, that Eric Gleeby had headed, the board decided to name you chairman.
Well,
did that come as a surprise to you?
I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't ambitious to take it over like the ones who sued Gleeby were. They were big tent. They were just like Gleeby. They'd stuck with him for a decade, and, you know, they didn't object. My lawyer says they had unclean hands. They were in the middle of the decline. But they put pressure on Gleeby, and that's the good part. Had a board meeting, and they named me a director, and then nominated me as chairman. He stepped down. I accepted. You have to go by the corporate bylaws and articles of incorporation and the corporate statutes of Virginia, where we're incorporated and all that. So we did all that. And of course, the people who had sued him got really upset at that. They thought they were going to take it over, and they're still fighting it, but they're going to lose. They don't have standing. That was ruled last month in a Virginia court that they didn't have standing. So, you know, they'll keep up with their blog and raising money to fight on to final victory and all that. But they're toast. They need to give it up. Yeah, hey, you know, the people who are in their lives now don't want any part of them. So...
So that's NARG you're talking about.
NARG.
Right. Now, you've used the phrase referring to NARG and also to Eric Gleeby's approach and Sean Walker's approach. You've called it the big tent approach, and you're against that. Now, a lot of people are going to tell you that having a big tent where all pro-white folks are welcome to join the alliance means a bigger organization, a bigger alliance, and that's a good thing. So you're against that. Why?
Well, Dr. Pierce's strategy was pretty simple. His worldview, his cosmotheist ideology or philosophy, religion, if you want to call it that, is it's not Christian. It's not for the masses. It'll appeal to those who understand what we're doing, and those who are attracted by it. We'll have a core of people who are all reading from the same page. We're all understanding what we're doing. We're not the Ku Klux Klan with light and cross or the conservative groups praying to heaven to come save us. That core, people like you and me and a lot of other good people, we'll build a movement of will and determination, as Dr. Pierce put it, and expand. And we're not all over the place. We're not contradicting ourselves. It's dangerous. That's why our enemies want us dead. They are scared of that.
Yes, they're afraid of Dr. Pierce's plan because, unlike most right-wing groups, he actually has a plan besides just making lots of money. He has a plan for the future, and he has a plan to save the race, and that's what makes the alliance unique, is
yes.
Following that plan.
And it's not that we're elitist. We want all good white people, but all good white people are pretty much need deprogramming. I mean, they're... Look what they're doing. They think we're going to be able to vote our way out of this stuff. This presidential election is just, that's all you see on TV. And I don't need to get into that, but we're not going to vote our way out of it. We're not going to buy our way out of it. We're not going to.
Not going to pray our way out of it.
We're certainly not going to pray our way out of it. I think there's a leaflet in there somewhere, Kevin.
I think you're right. Now, you started an online forum called White Biocentrism when we started the Alliance, when we restarted the Alliance. Now, there are dozens of pro-white discussion boards on the internet. Why did we need another one? And why did we call it White Biocentrism?
The word biocentrism kind of grabbed me because we're biological thinkers. We're biological racists. And in my view, there's two movements out there. One is the Christian patriot, and the other one is the biological race thinkers. And our old friend Joseph Price edited a book, Biocentric worldview a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. And that word biocentric just kind of grabbed me as being a descriptive of what we're doing. Biocentrism. It's
so biology is the center of all we're doing.
Yeah, and it's nature-based. That biocentric worldview was the essays of Ludwig Clodius, who Joe Price is the foremost expert on him. He's a German philosopher, and he's been overlooked, but Joe is a genius. And
basically, it has there's a cosmotheist philosophy behind it, and it nature, life as seen through science are the center of it. That's the way I see it.
Exactly. And Dr. Pierce, being a physicist, figured it out.
What makes the forum different from other forums?
Well, we just don't put up with the mess that you see on these other racial forums, the bickering, the sniping, the just playpens.
So white biocentrism basically is a place for serious race thinkers.
Yeah, and there's
scientific race.
There's all levels, you know. Everybody's got to start somewhere. But as we gain more and more people and show a little discipline, if people want to argue, we get rid of them. Go somewhere else if they want to attack us and argue.
Well, I think that a lot of these forums that allow anybody to sign up and allow anonymous postings, they're just absolutely filled with destructive people who, in my opinion, some of them are sent to be destructive, to destroy trust and to destroy whatever organization that white people manage to get together. They're there to destroy it. I'm not just talking about spam attacks. I'm talking about people who pretend to be pro-white but are out to destroy whatever organizations exist out there for white people.
Well, we can recognize them pretty soon. I mean,
yeah. To me, that's what makes white biocentrism different. People like that aren't tolerated for more than five seconds.
No, and people go there and they learn, and a number of them actually join the National Alliance, which is great.
Now, one of the main pillars supporting the Alliance for these past 2 years has been your wife, Svetlana.
Yeah.
We've worked with her behind the scenes on many projects. We've even seen her face in our monthly print publication, the National Alliance Bulletin. What can you tell us about the role she plays in our struggle?
Well, it's a pretty face.
Yes, it is.
She's from Russia. I went over there in 2003. We met, and I went back, and eventually we married, and she moved here, and we built this house together. And she told me, I let her know my politics early on, because if she couldn't live with that, forget it. And she said she was sorry, but she could not be my Krupskaya. That's Lenin's woman.
Okay.
Very radical Bolshevik. But I've worked on her and run my mouth, and she tolerated. But after a while, she recognized that what I was saying was right and true. And we'd like to build a bridge between American people and Russian people, because they're our cousins. They talk funny, but they're Aryan. This idea of fratricide is never again. Germans
indeed.
Killing Russians, Russians killing Germans, killing Brits, killing Frenchmen, killing Americans. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
And yes, we have real enemies that we need to be concentrating on.
Dr. Pierce, he explains it so well, how bad World War II was for our race and how bad World War I was. And, you know, we were like, 30% of the world's population at the beginning of the last century. And
here we are 100 years later.
Yeah,
less than 10%.
Under 10%, maybe 8%. And a remarkable stat is half of those 8% are female. And half of those female are childbearing. That's 2% of the world's population's capable of making a white baby. 2%. Mm. And we're being flooded with non-whites. And feminism has women killing their babies or not having babies, opting for a career, and then the race mixing that's encouraged.
Indeed,
we're being genocided. We're people can't see it. They think that whites are in control.
But your wife came to see that.
Yeah, it's so obvious once you wake up and look, but people are so scared to admit it. They're so afraid of being labeled a hater and a bigot and a racist and whatever, xenophobe. There's a lot of words out there that people don't want to be called. They want to conform. They want to be respected.
Well, more than once you have told me you don't know how you could have done it all without your wife's support.
No, I couldn't do it all. She's my rock. She's over there knitting right now with a smile on her face, but she keeps me out of jail. She keeps our books. She does all the bank deposits and handles a lot of the mail. Helps me with the membership, and we've got all the membership and money and finances and all that here in Tennessee. I couldn't trust the people up there in West Virginia until now. Now we've got Mr. Dave Pringle moving in there with his lovely lady, Laura Lee. And
now there's a great name from the past of the National Alliance returning now under your leadership.
Yeah. Dave's going to make things happen up there. I couldn't be two places at once, and it has been hell trying to bring that place back to life after 10 years of neglect.
Well,
that's
what
the struggle. You know, they don't call it a struggle for nothing. It's been hell getting...
That's right. You have been spending your own money on a lot of these attacks that have been taking place
on
the National Alliance.
That's what it took.
Well, since you began this effort... You have put in unbelievably long hours. You have spent many, many tens of thousands of dollars of your own money to fight off these harassment lawsuits and false legal charges. You have worked probably harder than you've ever worked before. And your wife is shouldering some of that burden too. And my question to you is, why? Most people would look at the work you've had to go through, the struggle, the attacks, the financial losses, and they would say, no way I would ever take that on. Yet you did take it on, and you're continuing to fight. Why do you do it?
Well, I didn't seek it out. It just kind of fell on me by default. Somebody's got to do it. We're up against enemies. Like the SPLC, I hear they have $300 million war chest to fight us. They have the courts on their side. They have the media on their side. They have the government on their side.
But they don't have the truth on their
they
side.
They don't have what we've got, do they? It's I thought just last month I realized that I'm already older than Dr. Pierce was when he died. I said, oh my, you know, your mortality faces you. I've got a birthday in less than a month, and I can't do this forever, but I can carry it as far as I can, and we've got really good people coming up. I'm so glad Dave's moving up there. It's what a change that's going to make. And we've got good lawyers. We could use money. You know, that's
well, we do. We do need more support. There's no question about that.
Hire more people and buy better equipment. We got a studio up there we need to outfit.
Well, we do have truth on our side, and we have destiny on our side. I believe that firmly.
I couldn't do it without you, Kevin. You probably couldn't do it without me. But
that's right, I couldn't. There's nobody who can fight the way you have fought against all of this unbelievable opposition. We need somebody. Let me just say in closing, Will, because probably we're out of time, that I really admire your grit and your determination. Those qualities are what we need, and this the only cause worth fighting for.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure working with you, and we're going to attract the kind of people to carry on when we're gone. We're not going to win in our lifetimes, and proud to be partnered with you. And I'll defend you to the end. There's a lot of people attacking you, too, so, you know, that's what we expect. Like I told a guy the other day, if we're not receiving flack, we're not over the target, right?
That's right. Thanks for being with me today, Will.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You've been listening to the concluding part of our three-part interview with William White Williams, the chairman of the National Alliance, right here on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com. Or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
We will now have our rebirth. For blood. child.